Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour number three, Felger and Mads, 4 o'clock hour on a Friday, means Christopher Gasper of the Boston Globe. He'll join us in a second. He's just picking out the belt sock ensemble that he's trying to accessorize.
Yeah, he's buttoning up his cardigan.
He's just trying to get that pocket square folded perfectly. Or the...
Yeah, you know, he's in a huff. Like, oh, this doesn't go with this.
Exactly.
Oh, I can't go on camera with this.
He's buttoning up the quarter zip. No, you know what I mean.
He realized that the ascot was brown, the belt was black, and he's like, you don't do that. You don't get brown and black. Okay. No, either brown on brown or black on black, or it's got to be coordinated in some way.
Oh, yeah, no. He's like, the Sean McVay or Matt LaFleur media people get it, like, groom the eyebrows, the whole nine yards.
He didn't like the sock belt sort of ensemble. So he just went back and got that squared away, and he's going to be joining us here on Zoom momentarily, if not this second. Gasper, are you there?
I'm here.
What's up, babe? How you doing?
Hey, what's going on?
Christopher Gasper is brought to you by Premier Basement Waterproofing. When it comes to water in your basement, don't mess around.
Yeah.
You need the basement waterproofing guru. Mike Albert and his team at Premier Basement, the number one rated waterproofing company in New England. I don't know who's doing that rating service, but I'm with them. Okay? He's number one with a bullet. For a free quote, call 844-LIVE-DRY or visit premierbasement.net. And then at that point, what's it going to be, fellas?
It's game over for water.
There it is, Casper. How you doing? I'm doing okay.
Boy, I got to be honest. I don't like this Zoom thing. I miss being there with you guys.
Well, it is what it is.
I know.
Next week. So tell me, you wanted to get in on the Felger Bedard quarterback debate, didn't you?
I did want to get in on that debate, because I just think, look, I understand where Greg's coming from. But I think that while it's a team game, if I could use a baseball metaphor, you can't tell me that the middle of the order slugger, the Freddie Freeman MVP middle of the order slugger, is as important as the utility infielder, right? I mean, you could have the best utility infielder in the league. That guy's not as valuable as that middle of the order slugger. And how many teams win a World Series without that middle of the order slugger? How many teams win the Super Bowl now without that quarterback, or at least that guy getting hot, right? The way Joe Flacco did in 2012. So I think when you look at the way the NFL is now, it's changed a lot in the last 20 years. Can you win primarily with defense and a running game? I think you can do it, but I think it's a much narrower path than it once was. And I think the Patriots ran into that this year. And look at some other teams sort of built defense first. Pittsburgh, New Orleans. Those are teams that you look at that sort of similar builds. And, Pittsburgh and the Patriots both got blown out and New Orleans didn't make the playoffs. And I don't think that's an accident. So I think more and more it's a quarterback league. So I understand what he's saying in his resistance. It's a team game, but not everybody on the team is equally important. And if anybody knows that, Felgi, it's you.
Thank you. So, but to me, it's not even like, can you win with this, that, or the other? One year? You can win in a million different ways. Like, and there's flukes and outliers. And, in any given year, yes, you can win defense first, or you can win with a broken down Peyton Manning or a Rob Johnson or Trent Dilfer. Any given year, yes, but that's not what I'm talking about. I mean, I don't want to be that team that wins just one given year, sort of a fluke breakthrough kind of thing. The goal should be to be consistently playing this weekend, and if you're, really great like Brady, next. But it's really about getting to this weekend on a consistent basis and next. And when you look across, it's just, I mean, it's not even worth arguing about. This weekend and next is always has some combination of the top 6 to 8 quarterbacks in the league. It's like that every single year.
I mean, look, as you said, and Chris, just let me interrupt for a second, conference championship weekend last year.
Brady, Rodgers,
Mahomes, Allen. Right? Final four.
I mean, and what's it going to be this year? It's going to be 3 of those 4. Maybe Tannehill sneaks in. Maybe Garoppolo sneaks in. I don't know. I don't know how you consider Stafford, but it's how it's going to be this year. It's how it's going to be next year. I'm with you, Gasper. I think it's just going to get worse going forward when it comes to this.
Yeah, and you know, he raised the point of Tennessee, which I think is a good example. The one thing I would say about Tennessee that's a little different and that gives them a little more leeway is that their quarterback is a running quarterback. He can make some plays with his legs to maybe mitigate some of the limitations he has as a pure pocket passer. You know, he had 7 touchdown runs this year and 33 first downs. If you look at Tennessee's team, the only other runner that has more touchdowns or more first downs is Derrick Henry. So it's a little bit. So that to me is maybe, say, different from a Mac Jones, right? Tannehill has that extra element of being able to make plays with his legs that maybe allow you to get away with him not being an upper echelon quarterback. And you can build it around. Also, the other thing, too, like, again, can this work? It can. But I think you need to have very specific circumstances. The quarterback who can run and a truly dynamic, transformational running back like Derrick Henry or Nick Chubb or Jonathan Taylor. Like, you can't just have like a run-of-the-mill, you know, 1,000-yard rusher running back and win that way.
Okay, so that's point one, which we all sort of agree on. And now I'm sort of coming around to point two, which is, well, again, one, if you want to be in this weekend consistently, you better have one of those elite guys. And number two, Mac Jones will never be that elite guy. I mean, is that jumping the gun on our part, Chris?
Well, define elite guy like Josh Allen, you know, he could rise to that level, but elite
he could
guy
rise
like
to
Mahomes,
the Josh Allen level?
Are you nuts?
I think so. Yeah, why not? I
mean, Josh Allen level?
Yeah.
Are you on
you guys
crack?
Think that's crazy?
I don't think it's crazy. I just don't agree with it.
Well, where do you guys, I mean, I've come around on Josh Allen, but I mean, do you think Josh Allen's a top 5 quarterback in the league?
Yeah.
Yes.
Would you rather have Josh Allen or Russell Wilson? One game with your life depends on it.
Oh, Russell Wilson.
Yeah, probably Russell, but I think they're both top 5.
Yeah.
I think that's 4 and 5. I mean, it's Brady, Mahomes, Rodgers, Wilson, Allen. That's the 5.
Okay. All right. So Justin Herbert's not in there.
Not yet. No, sir.
Okay.
I mean, well, Allen also
if
wins.
If you're saying Allen's a top 5 quarterback, then I'm going to say no on Mac. I don't think Mac will ever be a top 5 quarterback. Could he be top 10? Yep. Could he be top 12? Absolutely. I don't think he'll ever be top 5.
So, like, I'm just wondering if top 10 is good enough. I mean, when you go back and look at the last 10 Super Bowl champions, and again, a guy like Foles sort of mucks it up because he's a backup.
Yeah, but don't go with the exception. Go with the rule.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Yeah. So, but also, just to get to that level, guys, I mean, Foles played really well, but they also got to that point
with an MVP,
with MVP caliber quarterback play from Carson Wentz.
That's right. That's how they got the home games and the bye and everything is mostly on the back of Carson Wentz. So, I mean, I don't think that Mac Jones will be that, Chris. I think there's a physical ceiling there that he has. And so, you know, I mean, and there's another way to put this. Like, when I say top 5 quarterback, I mean top 5 passing game. So if you can get there with elite sort of pass catchers and an elite offensive scheme, however that goes, with a less than top 5 quarterback, well, that's going to get me to the same place, I suppose. But boy, that sort of, that probably costs you more money at the end of the day than just paying the quarterback. And you got to hit on everything. You got to hit on your draft picks. You got to hit in your free agency. And as we've seen with Bill Belichick, he's far from that. You know, at best, he's 50-50. So it's like, I don't see a path there then.
I mean, well, part of that path is it's a path that you don't like, Felgi. It's like you need the Odell Beckham Jr. type of receiver. Maybe you make a play for a Calvin Ridley
who
has a year left on his deal. I mean, you need that number one receiver. You have to, you know, really, it's very different from what they did with Brady. And to me, this is the biggest difference, I think, moving forward for Belichick with Brady versus Mac Jones. You could rely on Brady. You could get by with less because you had Brady as your quarterback. I think with Mac Jones, you're going to have to put more around him to get the most out of the quarterback position. You've really sort of inverted the model. It's completely the opposite. You know, it's like, this guy's so good, we can put less around him and still win. Now it's like, well, for this guy to be really good, we really have to put more around him. with Mac Jones.
Okay, I'm with you on that. You want to talk some football with Chris? We've given away the tickets. Sorry, that's it. That's it for the day. Try again next week or the next time we give away tickets. We're always doing something. Thanks for trying. You want to talk football with Chris? Join us at 617-779-0985.
Be honest. Wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
This is the place Boston sports fans come to get some positive vibes for their teams.
Anything but. It's time to panic.
Well, maybe not. Now, back to reality with Felger and Maz.
Hey, Tom, your success in the playoffs has exceeded, just your accomplishments have exceeded every player in the NFL. You're now being compared to some franchises where you've had more touchdown passes, more wins than most franchises in the NFL. Have you accomplished everything you've wanted to in the NFL, or are there things out there you still want to check off?
I think it's just a credit to all the great teams I've been on. I've just been a part of so many great teams over a long period of time. So I love that I've been able to do it for as long as I've had. I love the game, and I love being out there with my teammates. So we just had a lot of success over a lot of years trying to do the right thing. And obviously what we've done here the last, two seasons has been a lot of fun for me to learn and grow with these players and our organization and put ourselves in a good position. Now we got to go take advantage of it.
Before we go to the phones with Gasper, quick thought on Tom Brady. You heard Beatle there in the promo talking about, these sort of innuendo out there that this could be Brady's last year. He's going to retire at the end of the year. Or is there another power struggle going on with his coach? This time's Bruce Arians. Is he trying to leverage his future availability against his coach? What the hell's going on there? Gasper, what do you know? You usually
I don't
have
know anything.
You usually have some good insights into the Brady camp thinking. Where are we today?
I don't know. I honestly don't. I don't have any insight in terms of whether he's going to step down or not, retire or not. I mean, I would be a little surprised. The one thing I will say, and not that he's been a guy driven by money, because he's not, but he is branching out sort of in the business world. And if you want to do that, hey, you need capital, right? If he does not play next year, he has to give back $15 million of the $20 million signing bonus that he was given this year on the rework contract. So if he doesn't play next year.
That's what I thought. I thought that he had some money due to him next year. There was some arrangement that took him into next year. Chris, and it's like, let's not go back to this argument, but it's okay to say that Brady wants a good contract. Like, good God.
No, he does. I'm just saying, like, money is not, it doesn't drive him. It's not the most important thing to him. But $15 million for anybody, like, that's a lot of money to give back.
Yeah, no, the contract's a consideration. It always has been. That's fine. Or it has been recently in his recent, evolution. So how do you think it plays out? Do you think he wants Arians out?
I wouldn't be surprised by that. I think it's a little bit of a clown show operation. I mean, look, when I look at what Jim and I always talk about, you look at Arians out there and you saw what he did last week with Adams, hitting him in the helmet. I mean, what are we doing here? And I can't believe he's going to appeal that fine. He's lucky it's not more. He wanders and waddles out there like a tourist. He looks like a tourist with the weird way he wears that headset thing. I just think if there were ever, I don't think there's a greater case than what Brady has done the last 2 years with Arians in terms of the Brady Belichick debate, than him being able to win a Super Bowl in 13 games with that bozo.
So I agree on the him hitting his player thing. I've meant to mention this. This is usually when you know it's time. Mm-hmm. I mean, those of us who are old enough, remember Woody Hayes? Do you remember Woody Hayes in Ohio State?
Yeah, I remember Woody Hayes. Yep.
So yes. For you youngins, this legendary Ohio State coach was there forever, older than Rope. It just sort of, towards the end, he was starting to lose it. And in a game, was it even Arizona State? Like, how do I remember that? It was, anyways.
I thought it was Clemson.
No, Clemson. You're right. Why did I say Arizona State? You're right, Clemson. He, a guy intercepted a pass and sort of finished the play at the Ohio State sideline, and Woody Hayes started cracking him in the face.
He did.
And they had to say, all right, old man, it's time. Maybe it's time, Woody, for you to hang him up. But that's like sort of when you know it's time. That was unhinged of Bruce Arians there.
He lost it. I mean, he's 69 years old, too. So, you know, he's in that age group where you start to talk about retiring as a coach. Like, so, you know, maybe this is Brady saying, okay, I want you to turn this thing over to Bowles or Leftwich before one of those guys leaves.
Just never even mind that. Like, remember that dumb timeout he takes in that end of that Bills game where the camera pans to Brady and goes, what happened? Yeah.
Yeah.
Your idiot coach just tried to help the opposition. And, Chris, how about last week when Wirfs gets hurt, he goes to the sideline and he doesn't protect the player from himself. Granted, Wirfs wanted to go back into that game after the high ankle sprain, but you have, as the head coach, you have to save the player from himself instead. Nah, get back out there. Like, you dummy.
Okay.
And I wouldn't be surprised to, you know, Tom has a short window to win, obviously. And this is where Tom and Brady are the same. Just Tom puts a better face on it. They both are sort of, you know, really whatever it takes to win. I think Arians, if there's a nail in his coffin as coach, it was botching the Antonio Brown situation.
Meaning letting him go or just pissing him off?
Pissing him off to the point that I'm guessing, I haven't heard this, but I'm just guessing that Brady looks at it and says, that's a situation I was managing, then I could have continued to manage. This guy could have helped us win, and you had to pop off and, you know, be, you know, Timmy tough guy to him, and we lost him, and now we need him, and we don't have him.
Okay, it's just I'm just guessing here. You know, I wouldn't be surprised. Please cut the crap.
See, this is
serious. I've not spoken to anybody about any of this.
I believe Chris Gasper is correct.
See, but this is where Brady loses me. This is where he loses me. Like, so he's got to have everything?
Maz, we've been over this.
Maz, he does.
Because
at this point in his career, yes.
Because he wins. I'll take it.
Everything, he does.
It drove me crazy at the end here, too. I criticize him for it, too. But the dude wins. The worst of the worst is a guy like Rodgers, who pulls some of the same crap and then loses. Like, that's the guy.
Okay.
At least Brady wins. So he wins.
Okay, so I get it. Okay, I get what you're saying. But at the same breath, especially knowing the contract detail that Chris just said, Brady's got to give back $15 million if he doesn't play. If I'm Tampa Bay, sorry, you don't get to pick the coach, too.
Oh,
sorry, you don't.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
No, you don't.
I mean, he's the reason Jason Light is still employed there as the GM.
100%.
Man, you're still talking about him like he's just
a guy.
A regular
athlete.
What
are you, nuts?
Like, no. Nope, there's a line somewhere
there isn't. No line. I'm done.
Yes, there is.
Oh,
there is.
I used to believe there was. No,
yes,
no.
Yes, there is.
No line. Tom, what do you need? What do you need, Tommy?
Pave the streets in gold, if you ask.
No way.
Who do you want?
Nope.
Who do you want?
Nope. At some point, I put my foot down. No.
Nope.
No,
and
sir.
And you're going to lose.
No.
Every year, you get to play in the divisional round. Every year, 90% of your years, you go to the conference title game. Tommy, who do you want as coach?
I say no, but ask me again on Monday.
Well, you know what? Let's just do this. How about Mike in New Mexico? Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I was thinking, so if Brady wins this week, who would you guys like to see him play in the potential future? Garoppolo, Rodgers again, or in the Super Bowl, Mahomes, or watch him beat Buffalo again?
Okay, let me tell you. If he played Jimmy Garoppolo,
Jimmy,
he would wipe his ass,
Jimmy,
with Jimmy Garoppolo.
I want Jimmy. I want Brady and Jimmy nose to nose.
That poor little boy, Jimmy Garoppolo, would be Brady would bury him. So
Bucks Bill Super Bowl would be hysterical. They finally get back first time since Brady the 90s.
Again, yes.
Guess who's in the way?
That's not bad.
It's true. Do you even like the Bucks this week, Chris? Are you scared like Murray over here?
No, I'm petrified. I'm picking them to lose. It's not a good matchup. You know, Tristan Wirfs, the right tackle, is limping around in practice today. You know, the Rams can do what the Broncos used to do to Brady, what the Colts could do at times. They can pressure with just four and drop seven, and they have a really good cornerback in Jalen Ramsey. The Rams have beaten them each of the last 2 years. I don't like the Bucs secondary against. They don't have the eye discipline to deal with McVay's system in terms of all that play action and some of the window dressing. guys are too aggressive. They're going to get out of position. I do not like the Bucks at all in this game.
You guys, again, are just emotionally stealing yourself. It's just an emotional mechanism that you're doing. You're preparing yourself to be disappointed. That's a common tactic.
It's like you're doing with the Packers.
Hell yeah, of course I am. Are you
kidding
me? Yeah.
I mean, these two just told me how much of an idiot I am for putting down my foot on Brady, and then they tell me he's not going to win the game.
I'm telling you, they're just doing it to, again, emotionally steal themselves.
Well, my husband cannot throw and catch the ball at the same time.
Chris in the car. Go ahead, Chris. What do you got?
Thanks a lot, guys. And Gasper, I love you on Fridays, love you on Saturdays. So, Gasper, I was going to ask, we spent a lot of money in free agency last year. We went to the, we got to the playoffs, but what is the future? I mean, who are we dumping and what do you see moving forward? Because we can talk about this now because it's over. This season's over.
Okay, how do you build this team, Chris? How do you rebuild this team? What do you do?
So, you know, I know most people look at the last five games of the year and losing four of them, and they say, well, you got to beef up the defense. Here's what I would say. You do have to do that, but I think that your best path to winning right now is arming Mac Jones to compete in the AFC East. You have to get him better weapons. And I also think you're sort of, you know, a little younger on offense. And I also trust the organization to be able to upgrade the defense more through the draft. And I trust them to be able to upgrade the offense through the draft. So I'd like to see them go out. Maybe you can trade for a guy like Calvin Ridley. Again, he has 1 year left on that deal at $11 million. You know, he's an Alabama guy. He didn't play with Mac, but he's still an Alabama guy. And if you could get him in here and everybody bumps down one, I think you can still salvage Jonnu Smith and figure that out. I'll tell you something that's kind of sneaky, and this is one area where I would have confidence in them drafting, is left tackle. Now, you're not going to get rid of Isaiah Wynn. He's going to make $10 million next year, but it would be nice to get another tackle on the roster, even if it's a young guy, a rookie who plays right tackle for a year and is a longer-term solution, a better longer-term solution than Isaiah Wynn is. But I think you have to put Mac Jones in position to help you compete, because this is the number that, to me, defines the Patriots season, and you just can't win this way in the modern NFL. 25. Any team that scored 25 or more points against them this year won the game. That's too low. You have to be able to win games when the other team scores more than 24 points, or you're not going anywhere in the NFL.
So would you endorse a big splurge like Davante Adams, Chris Godwin, Odell Beckham, those guys?
Yeah, I would endorse that. I absolutely would endorse Allen Robinson. I'll throw him in there. Yes. I would definitely endorse. That would be my number one addition from the outside. Because, look, I want J.C. Jackson to stay. I don't know what his mindset is. You know, is he more Asante Samuel, Aqib Talib? Like, you know, I got to get paid. Or is he somebody that's going to sort of be like a Julian Edelman and say, okay, you know, just give me a solid deal and I'll take it. But I also look at what they've done at corner, and it seems like they can find people there. You know, what they can't find is weapons at wide receiver.
Okay, more Patriots talk with Gasper. He's also got a problem with the current direction of the Boston Celtics. We'll get to that after Big Jim Murray gets you updated.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name's Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
No thanks.
Felger and Maz.
Those guys are always trouble.
I want nothing to do with this guy.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, Gasper, what's your issue with the Celtics?
I just sort of feel like I've listened to some of these Brad Stevens interviews or read the one that, Jay King had in The Athletic. And he just is sort of projecting this like Dan Duquette, more days in first place. Look at our point differential. All our guys are great. Nothing to see here attitude. And to me, he's either the greatest poker player in the New England region, or this franchise has become not only aggravating, but completely delusional in terms of what has taken place the last 2 years. It just feels like they're in total denial about what's going on, and they're just doubling down on the same stale ideas that haven't worked. And there's not really a realization that they have to go in another direction or make some changes here. It's like, no, let's just wait. Let's just wait. And we will be proven right. You know, we will, it will turn out that we were correct all along. And I just don't think you can operate that way. Like, you have to, there has to be some admission. Maybe it's not public. Maybe it's private. I don't know. I'll leave that to Jimmy and his phone, but there has to be some admission that what we're doing isn't working and is not going to be validated at any point in the near future.
Yeah, look, you know, I listened to Ed Stevenson the other day, and at one point he said, you know, if you look at the metrics, we actually should have a few more wins than we do. Mm. And that line bugged me a little bit.
Is that like efficiency numbers?
Yeah,
or just...
I just, you know, I don't know if it was point differential or yeah, something of the like. So I hear you, Chris, but I think they know, and they just feel the best option is to stand pat. I think they look at it and say, and I don't know this, I'm just telling you, you know, Brad Stevens, for all of his limitations in the, I say limitation, that's the wrong word, for all his unwillingness to engage in the discussion with the morning show, he's not stupid. Okay, the guy's not stupid. And I think he looks at it and says, what's our best option of getting better? Seeing if Tatum and Brown can figure it out and we get to, you know, and then it works, or making a deal now and breaking them up. And I think they chose path A.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want them to break it up, but I also don't want to hear, like, you know, when you ask him about there not being enough shooting, well, you know, there's guys that have had below par, you know, shooting years based on what their careers are. It just seems to me like it's just a bunch of excuses. I mean, he built the team, and I'm starting to wonder if he's maybe a bigger part of the problem personnel wise than we realize. In other words, you know, they told us that, oh, you know, Brad's been really involved the last couple of years. You know, that's basically what his qualifications are for this job. And I look at it and I think about that and I say, well, who's the chief enabler of Marcus Smart? It's Brad Stevens. He did it when he was his coach, and he did it by giving him the contract. They said Brad's been really involved with what they've done in the draft. Well, that hasn't really worked out. And I'll be the first to say, I like some of the picks. You know, I thought Neesmith would be better. So I'm in the same boat as them. But at the same time, if he was intimately involved in some of their draft picks, is that a good thing based on what the composition of the team currently is? And also, when he was the coach, outside of Tatum and Brown, who did he really develop in terms of young players? I mean, I guess you can give him some of the credit for Robert Williams, but I mean, Robert Williams has really, I think, taken a huge step forward this season. So, you know, look, I'm certainly not advocating for removing Brad Stevens, but when you look at what's happened with them, it's a lot of the same voices, I think, in that organization. And do they need a different voice or an outside voice? Or is Brad just not listening to people who have differing opinions, who've been in the organization with him? I just don't have great confidence at this point that if they have to make changes, he's equipped to make the changes that will be successful.
Oh, the whole thing needs desperately someone to tell it like it is. It's just so, it just reeks the Celtics happy land, the green ooze that permeates that building, the coverage, the whole thing, the whole thing. I've been ranting about it for years. John in Duxbury has a Celtics thought. Go ahead, John.
Oh, Gasper, I'm so happy. I've been on hold for an hour waiting to talk about exactly what you just said. Mass, he's not stupid. He's soft. He's not. He doesn't have the skill set to be a GM. You guys called him G. Willikers for like 5 years. That position, you need to have an edge to you. He's not going to make a move because he's emotionally attached to these guys. They're his guys. I heard him on Toucher and Rich a couple of days ago, and he was, well, you know, we haven't had enough time together. We're totally injured. You know, I'd like to see more of a sample. More of a sample? He's not going to make one move.
Okay, John, thanks for the call. You're nodding your head there, Gasper?
Yeah, I mean, I am nodding my head. I mean, again, I don't – it's not an emotional attachment thing, but the one thing I'll say about Ainge is that – and I always love this about Danny. Like, if he thought it would get his team over the finish line, like, he would have traded his mother. And I don't know if Brad has that. I think Brad's a little more, you know, circumspect. I think he's a little more sort of like even keel. And so that can be good. You know, that sort of equanimity can be good, but it's not good in a situation where, you know, your patience is really just obstinance and you're refusing to admit that the path you're on isn't the right path and that you need to back it up and go in a different direction, you know, as quickly as possible. And again, it's just the idea of like when you have a team that relies on a backcourt of Schroeder and Smart, and you start telling me, well, you know, we've had guys that haven't shot it the way they normally shoot it career-wise, I'm going to look at that and say, no, you selected players who don't complement your two stars because they're not good enough shooters. And other teams know that. It has nothing to do with water finding its level or guys not having, you know, good years relative to their career shooting. I mean, I get it. That's Al Horford. But overall, no, it's the construction of the team. It's not good and it's not good enough. And you have to start fixing it and changing it. And that doesn't mean you have to rip your players, you know, publicly or go after them publicly or hold them to account publicly, which I think Ime is doing a very good job of holding them to account publicly. But you still you can't sit there and say, well, you know, we just need to be healthy. It's like, well, OK, the 10 times I've seen your entire lineup, it hasn't been that impressive. This is not working. You have to acknowledge that somewhere, somehow.
Dakota and Braintree, what are your thoughts? I'm sorry, Mass.
Michael, you can't all deem green teamers as la, 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 everything's great, because I've been telling you for the past 3 years that this team needed to be blown up. And there's a lot of green teamers that feel the same way that I do. So there's a select group. Now, the other day you were talking about what if Mac Jones doesn't become X, Y, or Z in the NFL, the Patriots in trouble. You should be talking about how Jason Tatum, if he doesn't become that top five, top 10 player, how they are in trouble.
Agreed.
I wanted this guy traded in the offseason because there was more risk to him regressing and going backwards and losing any type of trade value you may have. And look at his 3-point, right? I think Brian Robb from your station.
Career low by a mile. Career low by a mile. Shooting 31%, I think, from three. He's a career 40% 3-point shooter.
It's putrid.
He's Marcus Smart territory this year.
Lower.
Are you in trouble if Jason Tatum's your number one, Maz or Gasper?
I don't think you have a choice.
But he's Carmelo Anthony, and this is what people think he's that's what he's going to cap out as. Then yes, he's not good enough.
Yeah. So you're asking me, like, if ultimately he's your best player, you're going to win?
I mean, the thing is,
not if he's playing like he is right now. No.
I was on TV with Holly last night, and he says, "Well, you know, what does Jason Tatum have to become? And what are you comparing him to?" I said, "Well, LeBron and Giannis and these guys." He's like, "Well, those are top five guys. He's never going to be that." To which I say, if he doesn't become a top five guy, you're not winning.
Right, you're porked.
Those are the guys that win in that league. That's how, I mean, we talk about that with quarterbacks and football and basketball. It's not even debatable. You got the MVPs win. Like, that's what happens eventually. So it's like, if Jason Tatum's not a top five guy, you're porked.
Yes, you are porked. Absolutely. If that's what you mean, yes, they are porked. And look, even, you know, not that this is the be-all and end-all, but didn't Robert Parrish effectively say something the last day here that Tatum and Brown don't make other people better and that's why they're not going to win?
He did. And people in the league feel that way, too. Now, can they grow into that? I think the jury's still out on that. However, I think one of the fatal flaws in this team, and really it's the last couple of years, is that they feel like they can run an offense with those guys as the initiators and decision makers and distributors. And I think it's been proven that those guys, both Tatum and Brown, they're not ready for that yet. You're not talking about like a point forward type player like LeBron or Luka Doncic. Neither one of those guys has that capability. What they desperately need is a real point guard who can initiate and run the offense and take some of that burden off them and get them the shots that they deserve and the shots that they want and the shots that will maximize their efficiency. You know, that's what they need, not another scoring point guard, which they just sort of keep going down from scoring point guards. You know, it was like Isaiah to Kyrie, who wasn't as good a fit here as Isaiah was. Then you go down to Kemba. Now we're down to Schroeder. Like, where are we going from here? You know, you keep going scoring point guard after scoring point guard, and it doesn't fit with these guys. It doesn't work. It doesn't maximize them.
Okay. We continue with your thoughts on this and the Patriots in our long commercial-free segment next with Gasper.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Felger and Mass.
They've been incredibly consistent.
The only thing that's consistent is their inconsistency.
I don't think that's inconsistent.
Yeah, which is exactly what Murray said.
Am I misinterpreting it?
No.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tom Brady will get his first playoff win, not as a Patriot. He'll get his 31st all-time playoff win.
Who had a better year, Belichick or Brady?
Belichick. Captain Wannabe, Pushface the Pirate, left. The guy's a fraud. We win. My side wins.
In all honesty, I'm not rooting for anybody, you know, when they leave and they go to an all-star team.
The prima donna roadshow just left.
Belichick is going to be completely re-energized with this team. The cloud has been lifted for him. He's going to turn this into a rallying point for the team.
Tampa gave him the best shot at just padding his stats before he walked away.
I don't want to kiss Brady's butt. I'm tired of that. Murray, shame on you.
I can smell your full diaper of stinky poo. I can smell your full diaper. That's why I blur you. Tom won and Bill lost. But you shake your head and scream, no. With your full diaper. Your full diaper that has you smelling like an old age home.
Welcome back to Melbourne. There it is. All right, we've been reliving some of Murray's great bits from last year with Tom Brady, because Tom Brady's still playing. And if you're sensitive to the Brady thing, or an anti-Bradyite, or if it cuts too deep, the Brady stuff, and you're watching on the simulcast, I would just look away whenever they cut to Big Jim Murray in the update studio.
And I would just say, wah, get over it. You lost, and you might lose again. That cut might get a lot deeper come Monday. Oh, now, you know, just hearing that again, I am reinvigorated. This year, like, I've said the product is down. I've hated the extra game. It's just been okay. Like, he proved everything he needed to last year. But I got to tell you, I got some wind in my sails on the pirate ship in this last couple of days here. I don't expect them to win like Gasper. I think the Rams are a bad matchup. But, boy. We come in here on Monday, and they happen to pull that off. And if we get Niners at Bucks for the NFC Championship game.
Oh, it's over.
Oh, watch out, everyone. A game in which I told my buddy, I was with my buddy at that Bruins game last night who has these season tickets. I'm like, you're not selling any more of these. If they host that, we're going. We're going to that game next weekend.
Okay, and guess who's going to be in Los Angeles for Super Bowl? What Super Bowl is it?
56.
guess we'll be in Los Angeles for Super Bowl 56. Old Felge and Maserati, the Felger and Maz program, returns to the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah.
Even in the pandemic situation, the teams don't arrive till Friday. We'll be there Monday. And there's all sorts of restrictions on who can go into the convention space, where we're going to be. We're going to be able to talk to no one, which is like perfect for us.
Exactly. That's good.
We love going to the Super Bowl. And
so
going.
It's officially greenlit?
Oh, yeah, it's greenlit. We're there. We're going. And it's our favorite thing, which is going to the Super Bowl and not talking to anybody, doing no guests. So it's just perfect. There's no guests to even do this time. There's no one there.
No, it actually could be quite good. It could be a really Super Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. I was just a real quick follow-up on this. I was just looking at this. You know, the NBA champions, I just started in 2008 when you won. Every NBA champion has a first-team All-NBA guy on that team.
Of course.
And the few exceptions, like, for example, the year that the Mavericks won it, Dirk was on the second team, not the first team. But didn't he win an MVP right around that time? Either that the year after or the year before?
Yeah, he won an MVP. Yeah, so, right around there.
So that year he happened to be second team All NBA. Don't ask me
so
how.
So he was the sixth best player in the league.
Right. And like, for example, in 2017, the Warriors won, and somehow both Steph Curry and Kevin Durant were on the second team, not the first team. So don't, but like, I'm sorry. you have to have a top five player, first team all NBA, however you want to define that, MVP, either the MVP that year or a current, you know, MVP contending player, first team all NBA. You've got to be that guy. No one else wins in that league. Like in football, we can debate it, whether you can win without a quarterback like that or not. It is a debatable point. In basketball, it's not even debatable.
No.
It's like, no, you can't win with a you win with the guy. That's how you win.
Correct, because that guy can singularly take over the game and dominate it, because the top five players are typically good at both ends of the floor.
So if Tatum's not that guy, then, you know, he's not that guy and you're not that team.
Yep, that's right. Pork sausage.
Okay, Chris, final thoughts on the NFL weekend. What game are you most, you know, other than the Brady thing, which we've hit on, what games are you most looking forward to? Give me a thought on Buffalo, Casey. You think Buffalo's ready to go in there and win that game?
You know, actually, I do. I like Buffalo in that game. They have the number one pass defense, obviously, in the NFL. I like those safeties. Mahomes has turned the ball over a ton this year. And here's the interesting thing. You wouldn't think in a game between Buffalo and Kansas City, you would be making your decision based on this. But which one of these teams has the better running game right now? And I feel like it's Buffalo. I think Buffalo towards the end of the year, and obviously against the Patriots, they got their running game going a little bit with Devin Singletary. Now, I know Clyde Edwards-Helaire is back this week for Kansas City, but I think that's a little bit of a difference maker for Buffalo. I think this could be Buffalo's time. I like them in that game.
It's the lowest spread of the weekend. The lowest, Kansas City is the lowest, you know, the tightest favorite.
You a buyer on Tennessee?
Yeah, I'm torn. You know, I want to be because of Rabel. I'll tell you what, I'm not a buyer on Tannehill. And I think he needs to have sort of one of those like Joe Flacco-like postseasons, which I'll admit, I think he has in him, for Tennessee to be able to win it all. You know, I think it's going to be difficult for them to get out of the AFC if they have to sort of, you know, carry him the way San Francisco carried Jimmy G a few years ago. I just don't know with Mahomes and Allen there if they can get out. And then even if they can, I don't think they can win on the other side. I'll tell you the one, you're not going to like this, but the one game that's interesting to me, and I wouldn't be shocked with an upset. I would not be surprised if the Niners came in there and ran the ball right down the Packers' throat.
Me neither.
And somehow got out of there with a win.
Absolutely. They're more built for that kind of game. They absolutely are. It wouldn't surprise me one bit. I'm hoping that it's weather, you know, gets them down. It's gonna be like 4 degrees and the wind's going to be blowing, and it's a short week with a road trip, and Garoppolo craps his pants like he did at the end of the Dallas game, and like, there's my path. But I said this earlier, you know, equal rest, neutral site, I've got San Fran in that game. I just think they match up very well again. And oh, by the way, San Fran's all banged up and Green Bay's getting help. They get like three guys back, which is sort of, Murray, like a sidebar, sidelight to the 17-game schedule. Because it's this extra week, you know, Derrick Henry's going to be back for the Packers. They get like three. They get Randall Cobb, Zaire Alexander, Za'Darius Smith. Like, if this were the wild card weekend, then maybe these guys aren't ready. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's giving guys extra time to come back, which is actually a good sidebar. All right, Gasper, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it, kid.
Yeah, no, it was good. You guys have a good weekend. I know this is Murray's favorite weekend of the year, so.
See you tomorrow, Chris.
Okay, fire the cat. Oh, yeah, we got Murray and Gasper tomorrow?
Yeah, 11 to 2:30. Whether or not Chris stays for that extra 30 minutes, tune in to find out.
Okay, that's tomorrow. Coming up next, we have a final hour of unadulterated calls, agenda-free, right to you after Murray's update, no commercials.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit Flutie Foundation.org to get involved.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.